Hey friends, welcome back to the Mama Matters 2 podcast. I'm so happy that you're here with me today, and I'm honored that I get to be part of your day. I just feel like that's so cool and so special, and I just feel really honored. So thank you for taking the time to listen and to hopefully learn some things that will help you get your baby sleeping through the night. Today, we are going to talk about 6 different ways that we can approach infant sleep as a whole. As with everything, there's a lot that can go into this. There's a lot of different moving pieces in infant sleep. We're talking about age around 5 months to 18 months, kind of up to 24 months, but when they get closer to that toddler stage, it is just a whole different ball game. And a few episodes back, I talked about toddler sleep specifically. And I typically use different intervention methods with toddlers. So let's just focus today on around age 5 to 18 months. And we're going to talk, like I said, about 6 things that we can do to get them sleeping through the night, taking good naps. And I hope that this is helpful for you. So before we get started, I just wanted to take just a quick minute and read a testimonial from a sweet client that I recently worked with. She had actually hired a different sleep trainer to work with first and was not seeing success. And this was a challenging case. And, you know, every baby is so different and doesn't mean that they can't sleep through the night, but he was just having a lot of issues with the specific methods that they were using. So we worked together, and this sweet baby was going to sleep by himself after just a week of just a few tweaks. There was some minor changes that we needed to make. And once I looked at the entire picture, got him eating, got him sleeping well during the day, then everything just kind of clicked into place. So she said, I got this text and just wanted to read it really quickly. She said, "Seriously, Alexa, thank you so much. You have saved my sanity. He went down last night without my help and without crying for the first time ever. And he had 0 night wakings. Is this real life? I am so thankful. Even my husband is a believer now." So she said that last part because her husband was really skeptical about hiring another sleep trainer because it just hadn't worked in the past. And I think, you know, not every sleep trainer is going to be a good fit for your family. So it's super important to find one that works well for you and fits well with your family and your parenting style and your baby. So that's why it's so important. Why I have a discovery call before I even will book a client. I don't have like a book now button on my website because I really want a chance to talk with you. And I want you to have the chance to express what you're dealing with and just have a moment to have a safe, non-judgmental person come in and let you know how I can help you. And no case is too far gone. Please never feel like I'm judging you if you're like, I'm coming to you with ground zero. No, he does not sleep ever. He sleeps on my chest all night long. He's nursing all night long. I've had babies come to me that are nursing all night long and we get him sleeping through the night. So please do not ever feel like I will judge you and the place that you're in, or be like, that's not safe sleep. What are you doing? I'm not that person. I'm just not. So please come to me with any questions, any concerns, and book a discovery call. Let's see how I can get you those same results and get your baby sleeping through the night. Anywhere, I work with kiddos age 0 to 6. So doesn't have to be a baby, but I did want to highlight an infant success story since that's what we're talking about today. So let's just dive right in. Hey mama, are you tired of constantly being exhausted, not knowing what the day or night will hold? Are you sick of letting your mental and physical health suffer and feeling out of control of your day-to-day life as a mom? Are you ready to feel empowered and in control of your mind and home and finally feel rested again? Hey, I'm Alexa Martinez, pediatric sleep consultant, postpartum doula, and fellow mama who has been in your shoes, and I am so glad that you're here. Think of this as a cozy conversation with your best friend on a comfy couch mixed with a coaching session. Mom life, health and wellness, sleep, faith, and how to get rid of the overwhelm are all topics we will cover here on the podcast. And trust me, we don't shy away from the real and hard stuff. I'm here to help you put systems in place so that you can finally let go of the baggage and start enjoying motherhood the way you were created to. It's time to start feeling like yourself again, friend. So go reheat your coffee, I'm sure for the 10th time today, and let's dive right in. Because mama, you matter too. Okay, we are just going to jump right in. I have a lot that I want to cover in a short amount of time, and I never want to make this not easily digestible for you. I know that you are most likely a tired parent, and I want to make this as easy and simple for you to implement right this second. So the first thing that I want to make sure that you have a good grasp on is following the right sleep schedule. So this means age-appropriate wake windows, and sometimes wake windows are not, you're not going to follow it to a T with every single baby, right? Some babies do better with a little bit of a longer wake window. Some do better with a little bit of a shorter wake window. But as a general rule of thumb, let's just kind of follow that rule, especially if you're, you know, not having good naps or good nighttime sleep. Let's just try putting them to bed at their wake window and see what happens. The worst thing that happens is they don't sleep well, but they're already not sleeping well. So try to, I'll put in the show notes a blog post that goes over infant sleep and wake windows, specifically what they are, what the wake window should be for your child's age, all the way until I think I go through 14 months in that, pretty much the time that they drop to one nap. And then, you know, it's a lot easier to figure out wake windows when they're only taking one nap. So I'll include that in the show notes below. And that way you can kind of see what your specific baby should be doing as far as wake windows. We don't want them to ever get overly tired, but at the same time, we don't want them to get undertired. And a lot of times, if naps are a crapshoot during the day, then we're ending the day with either a very extremely overtired, cranky baby, and that's just setting them up for failure. They're gonna have a terrible night's sleep. Or if we have like a cat nap too close to bed, then we're ending the day with an undertired baby, and maybe they missed their melatonin spike between 7 and 8 p.m. and it just takes them a lot longer to fall asleep, and then they end up overtired anyway. It's just a mess. So trying to nail the wake windows and making sure that they're not over or undertired is a huge part of trying to get your baby to sleep well at night, is and most of that happens during the day, right, with naps. Number two is creating a consistent bedtime routine. Infants can recognize routines as early as 8 weeks, so including the same thing before bed every night. You don't have to do a bath every night. For example, you could just do like bath every other night or every third night or whatever. If you don't do a bath, then maybe you do just like a washcloth rub down, whatever you want to do, then lotion, PJs, sleep sack or swaddle, feed them, read, sing, and then bed. That's just an example. I don't ever want you to feed them to sleep. The way that they're going to sleep is a big part of how they're going to sleep through the night. So making sure that they're going to sleep on their own is a big part of things. I do have another blog post that I just thought about that I'll leave in the show notes below as well. And that one is, I think it's titled like, my baby won't sleep unless they're being held. What do I do? And that was so common for, I mean, a lot of parents, but for me in particular, my son, like I read all these things. It was like, make sure you're putting them down awake, but drowsy. Like that was everywhere when I became a parent 4.5 years ago. And my son just did not do that. He would not sleep when he was not on me. And I couldn't sleep when he was on me. So nobody was sleeping. So I think that I'll include that in the show notes below, because I don't want you to think you're doing something wrong if you're trying to put your baby down awake but drowsy and they're just not having it. Some babies are just built that way. And there's some tips in that blog post that can help you out a little bit. So, but you're not alone, and that is a super common problem to have. So how you put them to sleep, including the bedtime routine and not feeding them to sleep, you know, feeding them and keeping that separate from sleep, and then still rock them, still have a great bedtime routine, but try to put them into their bed awake. That will make a huge difference because they'll know how to put themselves to sleep. Number three, create a sleep-friendly environment. So make sure the environment is cool, dark, and loud sound machines. I have so many parents that are like scared to turn the sound machine up too loud. And I mean, crank that thing. I want it loud. So that you are not going to hurt your baby's hearing if you're worried about that. There have been some studies showing that, you know, there's no long-term hearing impact, but if you wanted to put the sound machine close to the door instead of right by their crib, that's what we've always done, is we have it right next to the door, which is about 8 to 10 feet away from his crib. So, just if you're worried about, you know, their hearing or just having them rely on the sleep sound machine, don't be worried about that. Just place it a little bit further away. But also, I feel like I rely on the sound machine still, and I am 30 years old. So it's not a bad thing. It just, you know, I can sleep without it, but I sleep a lot better with noise, and that's okay. So loud sound machine, make sure the temperature is between, my son sleeps best at 68 degrees, but between 68 and 70 is ideal. A lot of times that's something that needs tweaking and changes everything, is the temperature is a little bit too warm or a little bit too cold. Babies waking up with cold fingers, cold toes, or they're waking up sweating. Those are two really big markers that we look at to make sure that the temperature is the right range, to where they're not sweating, they're not freezing cold, but it does need to be pretty cool. And especially as we come up on summer, just make sure you're cranking that AC, because they just do not sleep great when it's warm. So making sure those little changes, and completely dark, you don't want to see your hand in front of your face. So make sure the room is completely pitch black as well. I also like to make sure that there's nothing distracting in the room, especially on a crib. I mean, like mobiles or anything, like those little like light up things that like clip onto the crib, anything like that that could distract them from sleep is not typically something that we want to put in or around the crib. So making sure it is an environment where they only associate sleep and not play would be ideal. Number four is getting enough activity in during the day. If they are closer to the 5-month mark, this is going to look more like tummy time. And this is not only great for their physical and mental development, but it can also help fill their tired tanks and get them ready for sleep. So getting enough physical activity, even if they're not walking yet, if they're crawling, if they're doing tummy time, any of the above, just making sure that they are moving enough and getting outside too. I really love, just to kind of, first of all, separate the day and nighttime confusion when they're really young, but when they get a little bit older, just to kind of get some vitamin D, get some fresh air. I just always find that kids that have spent time outside and exerting physical energy of some sort, even if it's not a ton, they just sleep better. They do. And I am a firm believer of fresh air and getting enough activity in for a good night's sleep. So making sure that we are doing that is a huge way that we can help to fill that tank throughout the day, tired tank. I it just helps them to be able to think about, I mean, even us as adults, if we are laying around all day and sedentary all day, we just don't sleep great. At least for me, I need to have some sort of movement in order to get a good restful night's sleep. Otherwise, I just feel antsy and restless. And so we just want to avoid that if we can. Number five is knowing what to look for and being patient during sleep regressions. So they are super common at different stages in infancy and can cause disruptions to your baby's sleep routine. But being patient and maintaining consistency during the sleep regressions is key. So a lot of times I see parents introduce new sleep habits that you'll want to end up breaking later. And that's why especially the 4-month sleep regression, it feels like it's hanging on forever. I've had so many clients come to me saying they slept great until 4 months and then their sleep went terrible and they still must be in this 4-month sleep regression. They're 8 months old, but still must be in it because they never recovered. They've just been sleeping terribly since then. And that's so common because they're not still in that sleep regression, but the habits that you introduce during that sleep regression to just try to get some rest. And trust me, I am not blaming you. When you are in the middle of a week or two long sleep regression, when they're up every 45 minutes to 2 hours, you're doing whatever you can to get even an hour of sleep. So trust me, I am not judging you. I am not telling you that you're doing things the wrong way. It just makes the regression last a lot longer and it introduces habits that you'll just need to break later. So when they do go through regressions, try to stick to what you were doing before and try to get them to sleep independently without a ton of intervention. You might have to offer a little bit more intervention, a little bit more feedings during the regressions, but trying not to, you know, if they're sleeping in their own bed, they've completely weaned from night feedings, and then they go through a regression at 4 months or 6 months or whatever it is, and then you're back to feeding them every 2 hours all night, it's going to be really hard to go back to that zero feedings a night. So just trying to keep maintain the consistency that you've had. And if you haven't had any consistency with sleep and their whole lives have been a sleep regression, it feels like that's totally fine as well. But I just wanted to address specifically the sleep regressions. And that's why I won't sleep train babies until they're at least 5 months old as well. I don't work with clients before 5 months old. Anyone before 5 months, I have them use my newborn sleep training guide because there isn't a ton that you can do. There's a lot that you can do as far as like setting healthy habits and routines and schedules, but they're just not developmentally ready to formally sleep train. And that 4-month sleep regression comes in and just ruins everything anyway. So I like to wait until they're done with that 4-month sleep regression. And then we sleep train right around that 4.5 to 5 month mark. And that is the perfect age, I feel like, to get started anytime after that. Number 6 is teaching self-soothing techniques. And this is something you can approach a lot of different ways. And I can work one-on-one with you introducing this in a way that fits your family and your parenting style the best. But, you know, you could do something like I mentioned, like laying them down drowsy but awake and just trying that once or twice a day, not for every time they go down, but a few times a day just to kind of gradually introduce it. You could try just kind of taking sleep props away gradually. So like, if you are feeding and rocking completely to sleep, maybe start by just rocking and not feeding and see how that goes, and rocking them to sleep, and then eventually rock a little bit less. So just like gradually fading out their sleep props, and that way they can learn how to self-soothe. You can also, like I said, just dive right into sleep training and we can find a method that works best for you. So those are the six things that I feel like set a really good foundation to get your infant sleeping through the night. A lot of times it is just a few tweaks we need to make to the routine and they just start sleeping through the night, and that's amazing. But there are some babies that need a little bit extra support, and I am here for those mamas that need just a little help in hand, and I can help walk with you through it. And hold your hand through it so that you don't have to guess. I just take all the guesswork out of it and help you guys get back to sleeping. So I pray that this was helpful for you, that this blesses you, and please remember that you matter too. Your sleep matters too. You need sleep to function as a mom, and you're doing an amazing job, my friend. Hey sister, if this episode brought some value to your life, encouraged you, or made your day better in some way, please share this with another mama friend who could use some encouragement and let her know she is seen and loved. I would love for you to join me in my free Facebook group where I bring value like this every single day and get to answer your questions personally. You can find the link down below in show notes. I pray your day brings you peace and rest, and I can't wait for our next chat. Talk to you soon, sweet friend.